Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have filled your word with promise and with power. And Lord, we appeal to you today that you would fulfill your promise and make your word powerful amongst us this morning. May you speak to your people, and may we leave here changed because we have met with our God. Amen. As some of you know, I spent a few of my teen years living in Paraguay, South America. And one of the things that you would do in Paraguay is you would try to always have a gun with you of some sort in your vehicle in case something edible would run across the road that you could shoot and eat, like a deer, or sometimes if you're lucky, as a crocodile or something exciting like that. One time, my brother and my cousin, they were out driving on motorcycles, and so they had no gun with them. They're driving along, and a herd of wild pigs runs across the road. Now, wild pigs are incredibly dangerous animals, but they also happen to be incredibly tasty animals. And so my brother and my cousin, they devised a plan. My brother was going to hide in the tall grass in the ditch, and he's going to be brandishing his motorcycle helmet like a club, right? He's going to be in there. And my cousin was going to sneak up behind him, making pig noises, trying to attract the pigs, right? And then when this herd of incredibly dangerous animals would come running, all excitedly to meet their new pig friend, my brother was going to leap victoriously out of the tall grass and viciously club those pigs to death. Quite possibly the worst plan since the Tower of Babel. My own brother. He should have left the helmet on his head to protect the little brains he had left. Well, everything worked out fine. The pigs just ran away, and that was the end of it. Like, they're really going to come running when you say oink, oink. Sometimes I think that is how God must see us a lot of the time as we pursue our own brilliant plans. I think I've had a few of those myself. The Bible says that making plans without God is foolish. Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Proverbs 16:9, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Of course, the famous passage from James chapter 5, we ought to say that if the Lord wills, we will do this or that. So if you desire to build your life with any sort of success, and I think we all do, there's only one way to do it, one plan, and that is God's plan. Everything else that you do will end in failure. We can make all kinds of plans. They may seem like really good plans. They may seem like barbecue pork plans. But the end result is always failure, because even if you succeed beyond your wildest dreams and everything comes true, if you have done it without God, it is still a failure and it amounts to nothing. Our work is in vain. And that can at times be difficult to hear for us, a blow to our pride, but we must hear it, for it's true. For to despair of ourselves and to look to God is the only way to a life that is not doomed to failure and that carries with it a guarantee of success. That's what we're going to talk about today. The plans of man must be abandoned, no matter how sweet they sound. So first, here, let's get depressed together. This first section is good and depressing. Our adventure begins. What does it look like when we build without God? Verse 1 says it just bluntly. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Oh God, you're wasting your time. You have nothing. You will do nothing. You will come to nothing. It's vanity, and it will come crumbling down. There's nothing that you can build that's going to last. A man has a few short years in his life, and then he must die, even the most ambitious of men. Consider some of the greatest and most powerful kingdoms of history. Great buildings. The Egyptian Empire, gone. Persian Empire, gone. Roman Empire, Qing Dynasty, China, Ottoman Empire. Fading memories of long-lost glory. We learn about them in school. We Google them for answers to trivia questions. Great architecture lost under the sands of time. Feared armies forgotten. Man's buildings amount to nothing. One by one, the kingdoms of the world fall. Entire cultures and languages are lost. Buildings destroyed by some new invader. If the buildings survive at all, they end up being tourist traps for people who want to do something educational on their vacations. I would totally go see the pyramids if I had half a chance. I think they're great. But in the end, they are no more than houses for the dead and trinkets for the living. Their glory long faded, kept alive by those who desire to make a profit off of them. And if this is true for the great kingdoms of the past, how much more for us? We who build our own little kingdoms in homes. I can tell you with complete certainty that my little home on Ellis Avenue isn't going to last that long. It's a fine home, but a lousy kingdom. And even worse, idol. It's good that I have it. It's good that you have your home. Don't get me wrong. These are good things. There's no inherent sin there. But to put our hope and our joy in our personal kingdoms is not just foolish. It is doomed. What's the point here? The point is that all our beautiful homes and all our beautiful faces will fall before the march of time. We are mortal and are limited. And we must never turn them into idols in which we seek our refuge and salvation. It's vanity, it's useless. You cannot get there from here. So this is a good depression we got going. We need a little more. Verse 2. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. Without God, all that you end up with is worry, stress, and exhaustion. You get up early, you got to go to work. You stay up late, working. You eat your supper stressed out from all the work that you've done. Night, you can't sleep because of all the work you have to do in the morning. How's that for a brilliant plan? You might as well hunt pigs with a motorcycle helmet. You can't get there from here. All you have energy left is to keep your appointment with the television on an evening. Behold the plans of man. When the psalmist says that this is vanity, he's not kidding. That's us. That's who we are. Without God, you will fail. Without God, I will fail. So we look briefly at what the plans of man can accomplish, which is so much fail. And we will be discouraged if we stop there, but of course we must not stop there. We must see what happens with God enters the picture. So we're going to turn a corner real quick here. Let's turn the corner. What happens when God builds the house? At the end of verse 2, we see something new. We see the first thing that God actively gives to those he loves. Up until now, we've seen the uselessness of doing things without God. Remember, not that those things are useless. Building your home, watching over your family, providing, living your life, those are good. Doing them without God is doomed to fail. Without God, it is vanity. So when we come to God, what is the first thing that we see that he gives? The end of verse 2, sleep. For he gives to his beloved sleep. There is rest. Remember what Jesus said, come to me all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, this is good. Rest from what? Our vain work. Obviously, the first things he gives is rest. Rest from our vain pursuits. Rest from our failures. Rest from our weaknesses. We cannot do it, but we come to one who can. And when you come to him, he gives you rest, freedom from vanity. How great is the mercy of God to save us from our own tyranny. Because we cannot help but become our own tyrants when left to our own devices. We will destroy ourselves. We will create idols. But when the Lord is our builder, our watchman, our provider, we have rest. And we can find rest in our work. We don't stop working. We keep building. We keep watching. We keep providing. But now they are done in the Lord and unto him. And we live lives to glorify God. So the first thing God provides is rest. Now look to where we turn. We're moving good here. Look at how verse 3 starts. Behold. After highlighting the utter vanity of man's pursuits and how we build, the psalmist says, behold, look at this. Pay attention. Do you want to see how the Lord is building? When you are building without the Lord, it's vanity. But now, what happens when the Lord builds the house? Let's look. Look at this. He says, behold, children are a heritage of the Lord. They are a reward. The house that God is building comes in the form of the next generation. It came a few years ago in the form of you. He does not build as man does. His building is different. He's not limited to a few short years of strength and then fades away. He builds in accordance with his own plan, which far exceeds ours. So when we see him providing young people, children, babies, we need to take notice. Behold, raise your hand if you are now a child or have ever been in your life a child. Behold, says the scriptures, the heritage and reward of the Lord. You are the house that God is building. It's a different house that he builds. And if we want our work to mean something, we need to get with the Lord's plan in building. We need to stop pouring our resources into the things that don't last and start pouring them into the things that do. God is building, and we're invited to join him in his work, not just for our children, but for the children in the church. We parent, we mentor, we pray, we provide, we teach, we defend, we disciple, we build in the name of the Lord, for we have seen his provision. And we say, yes, yes, Lord, you build the house. You build the house. Save us from our vanity. So then look how children are described in verse 4, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. You don't just run into the bush and pull out an arrow. They must be built and crafted, cut, filed, straightened, sharpened, honed, feathered, and perfected. The warrior knows how to make arrows out of sticks. And parents who raise their children in the fear of the Lord, they too know how to make effective arrows. If children are brought up in the training of the Lord, that is, the Lord builds the house, then the arrows are effective. Crooked and weak, splintered, dull arrows have no value to the warrior and only bring shame to the one who tries to use them. We must build our lives, our homes, our families, and our churches in the Lord. You know, I once made a bow and arrow. This was in Paraguay. Again, I made a bow and arrow, and I hunted our house cat with it. I think his name was Jake, if I recall. Poor Jake was never in any trouble, though, because the arrow that I made kind of looked like the bow. They both went like that, and like the pigs earlier, he just ignored my empty threats and ran away. That was vanity. It was stupid, too. My mom liked that cat. I shouldn't have hunted the cat. He was okay. He was okay. Don't worry about it. Arrows must be straight and sharp. They must be made correctly if they are to be useful. The next generation are the arrows, the weapons of the future. It is on us to bring them up in the fear and the training of the Lord. Our people are like arrows in the hand of a warrior? And what kind of arrows will they be? What are we doing to build a generation that is Bible-based, gospel-centered, and discipleship-focused for the glory of God? What type of arrows are they? There will be a time to send them off into the future when our time is done. If we build well, these arrows will have great effect to bring the gospel to a desperate world, to declare the truth, to defend the authority of the scriptures, to live in love, to witness to the existence of God, and to proclaim his word in the face of many difficulties, and they in turn will build the next generation so that the light is not extinguished in all the earth. And the gates of hell do not prevail, so that the church stands, the gospel is proclaimed over and over again, a cascading waterfall of one generation after another, after another, after another, until he comes again. And by the grace of God, there will be faith on earth when he comes. That's what we are to build, because that is what God is building. When God builds the house, it changes everything. And now we look at the result of having this quiver full of arrows. The end of verse 6. He shall not be ashamed when he speaks with his enemies at the gate. Why? The enemies have come to his house. They threaten him. They oppose him. They try to make him afraid. He is summoned to the gate. And what do they say? We've come here for you, for all your stuff. We got you cornered. You should give up. You should surrender. And what is this man's response? Bring it on. Bring it on, because he knows something that they don't. He is not alone. The warrior is not without his weapons. God has provided a quiver full of arrows in the form of his children. His family is trained and ready, and he has no need to be ashamed. He has no need to be afraid. There is no shame for the one who has had his home built by the Lord, whose home is watched over by the Lord. That one can rest easy in the face of his enemies because he has put his faith in God, and God has provided greatly. There are many difficulties in life, of course, many ups and downs. In the life of a family and of a church, many seasons of struggle. Seen it here. I'm sure you've seen it in your own home. But believers, you are the children of the Lord, his heritage and reward. Some of you older folks, you seniors who have been here many, many years, behold the heritage of the Lord. You are the arrows from the past, sent to prepare the next generation, which is us, which is me. You have lived to see many changes and challenges, and you see now the church still here, rooted in the scriptures, growing in depth, in grace and love, and the scriptures held in highest authority. Seniors, your work has not been in vain. See the reward all around you. All these years you have been building the house of God, or rather, God has been building the house through you. I want to take a moment to talk to the seniors just a little more. This is for everyone. We all need to hear this, but I want to address the older folks specifically for a little bit. And I want to address you specifically because you are, some of you, in danger of giving in to discouragement, in danger of believing the lie that you are useless. I've heard that word used by some, and it is a lie from the pit of hell. Seniors, when I see you struggle into church on a Sunday morning, let me tell you something. When I see you and you struggle to get in here, and you're struggling through, I don't know, illness, discouragement, loneliness, with the body that's slowly turning on you, and you can't do the things you used to do or be what you once were, and I see you struggle in here anyway because you still believe. You light a fire in my heart. And you give me courage. By your presence here alone, I see the grace of God extended into areas that I have yet to walk, but one day shall, Lord willing. And I see the power of God in you as you fight for your faith. Listen, there are teens. There are teens that are struggling with identity and depression. There are adults who are struggling with stress and difficulties. Parents struggling with weariness and worry. And we wonder, oh, we wonder, is God sufficient for my needs? Is his grace enough? Will it see me through? And we look to you who have gone before us to see, to hear what your testimony is. Has it been enough for you? Oh, we need to see it. We need to hear it. We need to see you finish well. Has his grace been enough? We need to hear your testimony that, yes, God's grace is enough. And we need to see it. Why? Because, seniors, you are still making the arrows of the future God has provided. And as long as you are here, your work is not yet done. And you come and you encourage. And let me tell you, you are needed and you are loved and you are cherished. And I'm so sorry that we don't say it enough. You are still God's gift to the church and you have great impact beyond what you could possibly know. So be encouraged and take heart. Finish well. Complete the work that God has given you of sending your arrows into the future. And at the end of your days, if all you can do is lie there and suffer, then it is our honor to serve you. And in that, we still grow and we are still sharpened. May it happen in our church that the generations stand together against the evil of the world and against the lies that haunt us at night. No more of that. You are the heritage and the reward of the Lord, sent to make arrows. The gospel should be at the heart of who we are. There is a heritage of power there and a hope for the future. When the enemy comes to our door and threatens here, be it society or government or whatever it may be, we will be able to stand at the gate and not be ashamed. We will be able to say, bring it on. We are not afraid, for we have a pride of young lions in here, young men and young women that are ready for you, who are willing to suffer for the gospel, the Lord's provision, his heritage and reward. Why? Because the Lord has built this house. And we are not afraid. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, not to our credit or glory, please. And I don't say that to you seniors for your credit and glory, although we honor you. But God has done it. God has sustained you. God has sustained us. God has sustained me. He is the great builder. We praise him for his mighty works. We stand because of him. We are here because of him. And we fight on because of him. And by the grace of the living God, we will continue to do so. In good seasons isn't bad. And when it's easy and when it's hard. What happens when God is the builder? What does it look like? It's a building like no other. The kingdom is built. God's kingdom is built. The heavenly kingdom. The holy empire of Jesus Christ. Eternity itself. That's what God is truly building. He is building for himself an inheritance that Christ won for himself at the cross. His elect, his church, his bride. Called, redeemed, forgiven, sanctified, and glorified to be consummated at his coming, where sin and death are finally done away with completely and forever. That's what God is building. An empire that will last. Abraham was a part of that empire. He still is. Isaac and Jacob. Israel's a part. King David, the prophets, the woman at the well, the demon-possessed man at the tombs, Mother Mary, the apostles, a great cloud of witnesses to rally our faith. In our own time, the church, all who believe in Jesus Christ and have put their faith in him. Through all of history, we see God building, calling his people out. They all have a part in the kingdom. We are going to the new Jerusalem, not the old. We are going to Mount Zion, not Mount Sinai. It is a building not made by human hands, but by the hand of God, built for eternity, through all generations, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, the kingdom is built. God is doing it. He's doing it now, and he's doing it here. We are blessed in our lives with many good things, and that is an amazing grace. But we are part of a much bigger story, a bigger building. We are the arrows from the past, and we are heading to the future. Do not put your hope in your own lives, in your houses, in your cars, or your own small kingdoms. There's nothing there for you. Without God, it is vanity. Come and join the work of building for eternity. But you ask, what does that look like? What does building for eternity look like? I still have to live my life. I've got to pay my bills. I got my job. All the mundane details of life. What do you mean by building for eternity? What about life? What about the everyday details that we must do? And that is an excellent question. It's a perfect question, because when we speak this way, it all seems so glorious and wonderful, and we want to be a part of it. We come running to the table expecting a feast of one glorious thing after another. We expect unlimited excitement and victory upon victory. When we just get a glimpse of what God is building, the excitement is almost too much to bear. We're filled with glorious anticipation. It's amazing. And then, what a disappointment when you come to the table and all you find is a plain piece of bread and a small cup of wine, and after that, a cross. What does it look like to be a builder in the kingdom? Let me tell you, some of these seniors can tell you. It looks like you being smaller and Christ being greater. It looks like you giving your life and seeking first the kingdom above all else. It looks like committing to a local church. It looks like being a Sunday school teacher, getting in that classroom week after week and teaching those same truths again and again and again to those children that God has sent us. Looks like serving as an usher, welcoming strangers into the assembly of God. It looks like praying faithfully for others. It looks like sharing the gospel to your co-workers. It looks like singing praises to God in joy and in sorrow. It looks like giving to his work faithfully and cheerfully from the heart. It looks like fighting sin in your life and choosing humility over pride, considering other people's needs above yours. It looks like forgiving from the heart. It looks like forgiving from the heart. It looks like forgiving from the heart when someone has wronged you. It looks like confessing your sin when you have wronged someone else. All that and more, like Pastor Eric said last week, it looks like sowing in tears. And there are times, many times, most times, that for the glory of God, you must learn to be a master of the mundane. If you want to join in the work of God in building his kingdom, there's much that you can do, much that you should do. But to so many, when it comes down to it, the work is beneath them. There's not enough praise and honor in it, not enough immediate reward, and so they just drift along, or they just drift away. Too easily are we enchanted with the world, and so we seek to build our own kingdoms, so our friends and neighbors will be amazed at what we have built. And we would trade our eternal soul for a mouthful of hot air, eternal glory for ash and dust. What a tragedy that is. No, we must not give in, not for a moment. We are to pick up our cross and follow Christ. We are to be faithful to the task before us, no matter how small, and carry it to completion. Who will teach the children? Who will encourage the elderly? Who will build the kingdom? What kind of arrow are you? What kind of arrow do you wish to be? What kind of arrow does God wish you to be? For we are the arrows in Christ's hand, his weapons to bring the gospel to the next generation. He is gathering his people, and they will be gathered. No one can stop him. He is preparing his bride, and she is beautiful. Are you willing to carry your cross and follow him? Be very careful then how you build. and take thought over this, whether in your own life or the life of your family or the life of the church. Build your house upon the rock, on the word of God. That is what it looks like to have God build the house upon his word, in his time, in his way, and in his power, through the excitement and through the mundane. What changes do you need to make in your life? Remember, without God, you will fail. I will fail. But when God builds the house, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies at the gate. May we never be ashamed for having lived our life in accordance with the word of God. May we never be ashamed for have taken a risk for him. May we never be ashamed to have bet it all for him, to have been small and humble so that he can be made great. May we never be ashamed to master the mundane for his glory, to have lived and have died for him. For he who puts his trust in the Lord will never be put to shame. So come and take your place in the great building of our God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have made us and loved us and called us the heritage.